Salve Maria, and welcome to Stories for Truly Catholic Families. Our story today comes from the book Golden Legend of Young Saints, and our story is called Dominic Savio Did Nothing Out of the Ordinary. Do you know the city of Turin? Everyone knows it by name, of course. It is the capital of Piedmont, a famous province of northern Italy, and a great center of commerce and industry. More than 100 years ago, it produced a political movement which united the warring Italian states into a single nation under the leadership of the princes of Piedmont, the House of Savoy. Visitors to Turin find it beautiful, with its well-planned streets bordered by high arcades which give it an air of unusual dignity. From the top of the hill overlooking the city, where the great Basilica of Superga stands, you can see the snow-capped Alps rising majestically over the horizon. A lovely city, indeed. But Turin has another claim to our admiration. I mean, to the admiration of Christians. In the 19th century, it was not only a political capital with a splendid future before it, it was also a capital of holiness. There is no doubt that in all Catholic Europe, there was no other city where lived so many holy people, later to be canonized by the Church. Yes, by a singular chance, or the intention of Providence, there were in Turin an amazing number of men, of women, and even, as you will see, of children, who had only one thought: to serve God by carrying out His commandments and devoting themselves to the task of helping the unfortunate. It would be impossible to name them all. That would take far more than the few pages of this chapter. But we should at least mention Don Cafasso. Don, in Italian, is a title given to a priest in Italy. Don Cafasso spent his life helping prisoners and assisting those who were condemned to death. And also Don Cotolengo, who was so moved when he saw a poor woman dying of cold and hunger because no hospital would take her in, that without any money, he founded a hospice for the relief of every form of human misery. Today, it has become the marvelous City of Charity in Turin, sheltering no fewer than 8,000 persons. Of all these saints of Turin, the most celebrated, of course, is Don Bosco, the very appealing Saint John Bosco, one of the most extraordinary saints of his own time, and indeed of any time. As a young priest, he was horrified to find large numbers of homeless boys roaming the streets of Turin, like so many stray dogs, without families, without food, without shelter. He began by taking one boy to live with him, then two, then a dozen, then dozens more. That was the beginning of the Oratory of St. Francis de Sales, where the orphans or abandoned boys were not only received, housed, and fed, but educated and prepared for life. A congregation of priests was to grow up around the good Don Bosco, to help him and to further his work. These were the Salesian Fathers, and also a congregation of sisters to do the same work among girls. Don Bosco was always cheerful, delighting to play with his boys, unequaled in performing magic tricks and climbing a greased pole. He was also unequaled as a teacher. His authority was smiling yet firm, and no one knew better than he how to be a leader of men and of children. One day, toward the end of October, 1854. A little boy rang the bell of the Oratory of St. Francis de Sales. He was a skinny little fellow with big, gentle blue eyes that seemed to fill his thin, pale face. He had just got off the old stagecoach drawn by four horses, which had jolted him all the way from Castelnuovo to Turin. He had crossed the whole city, gazing with astonishment at the crowds, at the number of the carriages in the streets, at the beautiful things in the shop windows, at the variety of displays in the marketplace. In a voice that trembled a little, he told the porter, "I am Dominic Savio. I have come from Castelnuovo. I should like to see Don Bosco. I believe he is expecting me." Don Bosco was, in fact, expecting him, and gave him a warm welcome. Little Savio's shyness did not take long to melt away. When Don Bosco looked at you with those laughing eyes of his, you couldn't help being at your ease. From the very start, Dominic felt complete trust in the priest who from now on was to take the place of his own father. He looked at Don Bosco, and then at the Latin inscription behind him. "What does that mean?" he asked. Don Bosco explained, "It is what I ask God every day. Give me souls and keep all the rest." "Oh," said the boy gravely, "it's a soul trade you're carrying on here. You buy souls for heaven? I hope mine will be bought too." And Don Bosco replied with smiling seriousness, "That depends only on you, Dominic." As he said this, he was considering the boy carefully. Dominic did not look the 12 years marked on his baptismal certificate. He seemed so delicate, so frail. And yet a singular force came from him, a spiritual force. Don Bosco was not surprised at this, any more than at the boy's answer. His friend, Don Cafasso, also a childhood friend of the blacksmith, Savio, Dominic's father, had told him something about the boy. Even as a very little child, Dominic Savio, guided by his saintly mother, had loved above all things to go to church. At the age of 5, he had persuaded Don Zucca, his parish priest, to teach him to serve Mass, even though he was so small, his head did not reach as high as the altar. So exceptional was the child's piety that when he was 7, his parish priest told him he would let him make his first communion, an almost unheard of thing at that time when children did not make their first communion before 12 years of age. At school, Dominic had been not only an earnest student, but a model classmate, preferring to be punished himself rather than tell on another boy. When he was asked why he let himself be accused unjustly, he admitted that he had thought of our Lord Jesus Christ, who allowed himself to be unjustly condemned. Don Bosco knew all this. He looked affectionately at the little boarder sent him from heaven. "Go and play with the other boys," he told him. But perhaps he also knew, for he knew so many things hidden from ordinary men, and he was even said to be able to read souls like an open book, that the Oratory of St. Francis de Sales had received its first saint. If he had any doubts in the matter, Dominic's conduct and speech would speedily have cleared them away. For scarcely had little Savio entered the oratory and become a student among the rest, than it became quite clear that he was not at all like the others. Not that he was sad or surly or unable to join in the others' play. On the contrary, to the extent of his size and poor health permitted, he took part in their games and was one of the most eager players on the ball and bowling teams. But he possessed a kind of mysterious authority over the other boys, even the roughest and toughest. and Don Bosco knew well enough the reason for this strange prestige. One day, Dominic came to Don Bosco and said to him, "Father, in your sermon this morning, you said that God was asking us all to become saints. Deep down inside me, I feel the need to be a saint. Tell me how to set about it. By myself, I might take the wrong road." Don Bosco answered, "It's quite simple. All that's needed is that you do your duty, your whole duty, joyfully for God." And that is exactly what Dominic Savio did in the 3 short years he spent at the oratory. Outwardly, he did nothing out of the ordinary. He was a good student, but there were other good students. He was a good companion, but there were other good companions. The boys at the oratory got along well together, and even if quarrels broke out, they did not last. Don Bosco was a master at training his boys to be generous, unselfish, willing. The people of Turin had good proof of this when a cholera epidemic swept the city and the oratory lads came forward as volunteers to assist the sick and even to help bury the dead. Yet even here, Dominic soon stood out as more unselfish, more friendly than the rest. And he went oftener too to the chapel, where he could be found praying for hours on end. What Dominic Savio did among his schoolmates came to light only later, when everyone began to tell what they knew about him. Once he asked a boy to come into the chapel with him. The boy refused, saying it was too cold there, and his hands were already covered with chills. Without a word, Dominic took off his woolen gloves and handed them to him. Another time, Dominic organized a quiz game. The winner was to get a prize, one of his own possessions, and the subject of the quiz was the catechism. When a bully punched him right in the face, instead of trying to return the blow or report the boy, he spoke to him so kindly, so lovingly, that the other boy broke down and cried. He promised to resist his violent instincts, and he kept his promise. Still another time, happening to arrive just as 2 of his schoolmates were about to fight each other with slingshots, Dominic threw himself between the 2, crying, "I want the first stone to be for me." And the others had not dared shoot. Thus, Dominic Savio's presence in the oratory was enough to make the atmosphere even more friendly, more loving, in other words, more Christian. A little group even formed around him, which he called the Company of the Immaculate. Each member promised to pray often and to live like a true child of the Blessed Virgin. But alas, there was one thing that was not going well in little Dominic's life: his health. From month to month, it grew worse. Tuberculosis, which modern medicine is able to fight and cure, was then a dreadful scourge. Practically nothing could be done against the chest sickness, as it was called. Dominic coughed more and more. He grew thinner and paler every day. What was to be done? Don Bosco had to consider the others. Tuberculosis is most contagious, and to keep the sick boy among all the lads would be very dangerous. Finally, with a very heavy heart, the superior of the oratory decided to send Dominic home to his family. The person who took the painful decision most calmly was Dominic himself. He knew perfectly well what it meant. In fact, he called together his friends of the Company of the Immaculate to bid them farewell and asked their prayers for himself as for one already dead. Then he went back to his own village. There, his condition grew rapidly worse. His distracted family called in the doctor. But as we have said, in those days, there was no remedy for tuberculosis. All the doctor did was follow an old-fashioned method of treatment and bleed the fragile lad again and again. Already Dominic had little enough strength, yet he was bled 10 times in 4 days. The 15-year-old Dominic bore his final ordeal with a courage that many an adult might have envied. After bleeding him the 10th time, the so-called doctor exclaimed, "Now the sickness has been overcome." Dominic burst out laughing. "The world has been overcome," he exclaimed weakly. "Now all that remains is to cross the threshold of eternity." He crossed the threshold with his customary calm and simplicity. When he felt the end was near, he asked his father to open his missal at the prayers for the dying and read them to him. He made all the responses without missing a word. His poor mother, meanwhile, unable to bear the scene, had rushed out of the room and was sobbing her heart out on the stairs. The father's last memory of his son was seeing him raise himself on his sickbed, his face suddenly rested and glowing, and hearing him murmur quite clearly, "It is beautiful, what I see." What Dominic saw as he passed into eternity, he must certainly already have glimpsed during his short life. Of course, he had never boasted of having visions or ecstasies like some of the great saints. But later, when recollections of him were assembled, those who had known him or in whom he had confided told of astonishing graces he had received. Indeed, heaven itself had often been present to him in his daily life. Once, when he was only 5 years old, he had walked a long distance alone and was almost exhausted. A shining young man had picked him up in his arms and carried him to the doorstep of his home, then had disappeared. Another time, as he was trudging along wearily by himself, he met a lovely lady who kept him company, but she also vanished as he had reached his destination. Another incident of this kind occurred when he was at the oratory. One day, when everyone was looking for him, thinking he had disappeared, Don Bosco found him in a corner of the chapel. Dominic had been praying there for 7 whole hours and had completely lost track of the time. His eyes were turned to the altar. His face was alight as though he were seeing things ordinary mortals cannot see. No sooner then had Dominic died than a real golden legend sprang up around his gentle person, but a legend in which the facts were true, known, and checked. It was recalled, for instance, that one day he had gone to knock at the door of a house in Turin, saying a sick person was there in danger of death and that a priest must be called at once. At first, those who opened to him had simply laughed at him, but upon making a thorough search of the house, they discovered an old cleaning woman dying in the attic. It was also recalled that one day Dominic had asked Don Bosco's permission to go home to his village because he knew his mother was very ill. "Have you had a letter?" Don Bosco asked him. "No," Dominic replied, "but I know it." And it had been true. Don Bosco, in any case, could not doubt that his little pupil had received extraordinary graces for several years after his death. Dominic appeared to him, clothed in a tunic of dazzling white, and spoke to him of the joy which is the lot of the just in heaven. Such was Dominic Savio, the little boy who seemed to have done nothing out of the ordinary. The church wanted all the boys in the world to know his story and to follow his example. That is why, in 1950, she declared him blessed. And in 1957, exactly 100 years after his death, proclaimed him a saint. Saint Dominic Savio, model of Christian schoolboys, pray for us. I hope you enjoyed our story today. For more stories, come back each week to donalaslea.com. Salve Maria.